Right, right.
I have been getting into, I meant to tell you this earlier, Star Trek Online, off and on.
Oh, yeah?
I was, like, looking for something that I could listen to a podcast while playing. And most of the other stuff I have is, like, fairly narrative-based. And yeah. Also, I wanted something that I didn't require, like, a lot of concentration. And I used to play Elder Scrolls Online a lot. But you really need to have a subscription to Elder Scrolls to get the most out of it. And Star Trek Online apparently has, like, fairly decent first section on their free-to-play. Not bad. I was surprised that all the a lot of voice actors to come.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't. The current chapter, I haven't played any of it, but the current chapter is Mirror Universe. Wesley Crusher apparently is like the big bad. But Worf is in. I've seen Worf. I'm playing as a Klingon, so that I'm doing all the Klingon storylines. A bunch of Worf stuff happens. And nice. Then and I saw some stuff with Geordi already, but it's been fun. It's definitely like an old school MMO where it's not as though you're flying like a nice looking spaceship or anything, but still some fun stuff. Speaking of fun stuff, did you? Let's talk about Twitter.
Okay.
So I kid you not, back in the summer.
Oh, do we want to introduce ourselves, or do we want to just go in full bore again?
Sure. Hi, this is Kendrick.
And I'm Josh.
And we're here recording our bonus chit-chat special flavors that we put out in between our regular episodes. these are for you, the fans, to listen to.
Sorry, bonus chit chat special flavors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just writing out what today's episode's going to be called. Oh. Since we call it something different every time.
Yes. 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 it's mainly a chance for me to vent to Josh about the state of the world and Josh to go, yeah, man, capitalism.
I should get a yeah man capitalism button that I can just push whenever that comes up.
If we had a soundboard, that would be a great soundboard button.
Oh my God, I'd love that.
But I kid you not, back in the summer when Elon first announced that he was going to try to buy Twitter, I put a note on our bonus. We have like a little, we keep track of bonus topics. I put a note on there. I was like, let's talk about this. And then it kind of disappeared for a little while. And I was like, well, it's not really in the news. We don't need to talk about it anymore. And then since we recorded last, it went through, completed, and then all of Twitter has caught on fire and continues on. So,
and then Elon will wake up and then tweet more gasoline onto said fire.
Oh my gosh. So I have been someone who has worked at a company, several companies actually, where the company I'm working for has gotten bought, right? Mm-hmm. And it's happened to me several times. And
always a fun experience. I love that.
Almost all of those times, there's a period after the purchase goes through where the new CEO or board or whatever is like, look, we don't want to change anything. We bought you guys for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Continue business as usual for like 4 to 6 months. And then we'll figure out how we want to change things. Mm-hmm. And so there's usually some layoffs and usually some people leave because they don't want to work for, you know, whoever's doing the acquisition. So there's always some turnover.
And there's merging and
redundancies and people are like, you know, their jobs. I have been fortunate to never be part of that. This has happened many times, but a lot of times companies are acquired for like specific IP and most of the staff gets laid off. Mm-hmm. So you'll see in like, say, game studio, they'll get acquired because they have some IP and they'll lay a lot of people off because they didn't want the people. They just wanted the IP. Fortunately, that's never happened to me, but
capitalism, man.
Hey, so I kind of expected that to sort of happen here. Elon Musk bought Twitter. he's going to be like, I'm not going to change anything for 4 months. I'm just going to watch how it goes, take some notes, and we'll make all changes maybe in like January. Nope. Day one, stuff just really goes downhill and continues to go downhill. So they laid off a whole bunch of people, which really triggered, I don't know if triggered or like coincided with a lot of other tech companies in Silicon Valley doing massive layoffs. So
yeah, like Meta just did a bunch too.
Meta laid off what, 11,000 people or something.
It's crazy. Do you know what percentage that is of like their workers?
I don't. I want to say it was like 15%. That's a number I've seen a lot of.
Wow. Like, I know that some companies can get bloated, but 15% feels like there's got to be some sacrifices.
13%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which really is wild to think about how many people they have employed. And I wonder if I'm no idea. I have not read the news. I'm speaking on my ass here. If they have a lot of, like call center or I don't just kind of like pure minions who maybe do like moderation or, that kind of stuff, because 11,000 like seems like a lot of people to be working on the Facebook app itself.
Yeah. And you would think that it wouldn't ideally take that many people to maintain something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, WhatsApp, the VR stuff.
Oh yeah, the metaverse.
And that's like just off the top of my head. And then there's also I think Facebook started to do like its own they wanted to do like their own studio. They were doing like Facebook TV for a while. I remember there was some show I think that I was like, what the heck is Facebook TV? So they have a lot of departments, but still 11,000 people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
So yeah. Twitter lays off a whole bunch of people right from the beginning, and then a lot of people leave. And actually, I read reports that showed that days after these people got laid off, people were like trying to call them up and be like, actually, we need you back.
Yep.
Bad look. I saw some videos of people that people had taken on their phones while they got like laid off on Zoom. Bad experience. Most of Twitter, Elon fired the board at Twitter after he came in.
Which, I care less about the board than I do about like the engineers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like I mean, they're gonna they're gonna find some other executive position somewhere else. But like the grunt engineers, those
it's more of the nature of like firing the board.
It's
more the problem. And the big fiasco that has happened is Twitter has had for a long time this concept of being verified. And the point of being verified was you'd have a check mark next to your name, and it showed that Twitter had done some sort of validation. I don't know what, something to make sure that you were who you said you were. And this is important because while Twitter statistically has a much fewer user count than say Facebook or other social media, the people who use it are all, there's almost all like some media and politicians use Twitter pretty heavily, and they will use it personally, and it becomes like their own like way of speaking to people on a regular basis. Whereas before, you know, a politician might have a press conference or be interviewed. Now they're just going to Twitter and they're typing things out on Twitter or taking a video of themselves and putting it on Twitter. And so the verification was just a way to be like, this is actually who they say they are.
Yeah.
Journalists, politicians, you know, the president, famous Donald Trump, famous for being a big user of Twitter, but you know, Obama and Biden both have official accounts. A lot of other world leaders have accounts. Elon wanted to change the way to get verified from a process that they would pick people. So before, Twitter would pick people and verify them. And it definitely meant that it was like heavy-handed in certain industries. Like there was no way for me to get verified. Granted, no one cared if there was like a fake Kendrick out there, but I had no recourse to try to verify my own account. But if I went and worked at, say, like CNN, day one, I would get verified, no matter like my level of journalism. So Elon was like, well, let's make it more egalitarian, and you just pay a monthly fee and we'll verify you.
And then everybody collectively said, but Elon, won't this cause some problems with impersonation that have been fixed by our current system? Yes. And then Elon said, charge for Leroy Jenkins.
My favorite, and this is like going to be a story I tell to my children someday. Elon says, we got to make money. Let's charge $20 a month. And Stephen King, probably one of the most famous fiction writers alive, says...
Who's an active user of Twitter. Yes. Like, he uses it pretty regularly.
Yep. He says, why would I pay you? You should be paying me to use Twitter. I'm not going to pay $20 to be verified. He says, if they start charging for verification, I'm gone like Enron. And Elon himself replies directly to Stephen King, and he says, look, we got to make money. What if we just set it to $8? And I'm like, the world's richest man is having a conversation with Stephen King on Twitter over a $12 a month difference. This is mayhem. Mayhem. And this happened in like October, early October. And I was like, this is funny. Ha, 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 ha. He rams through this whole pay for verification thing. And now you got to remember, he laid off a whole bunch of people. The people that got laid off were like the support team, the QA team.
There were allegations that he was laying people off by the amount of lines of code that they had written.
Yes.
Like the bottom 25% of code writers were getting laid off. The people who are fixing all of the code constantly are the people that are getting let go. And he also decides to ram this verification thing through, but is advised to wait until after the midterm election is over. So midterm election happens on Tuesday the 8th. A good night for me in comparison to what I thought it was going to be. And then Wednesday the 9th, we wake up, and this is just a few short days ago.
Yeah,
and the world is turned upside down.
We're recording this on the 12th, and it was, 4 days ago. And... it's really hard to explain to people what exactly is going on because, like I said, statistically few people use Twitter. I think everybody probably – most people know what Twitter is. Most people are not using Twitter. And even the people that use Twitter, statistically few of them tweet. Like I'm not a huge tweeter. I was a fairly big user of the site but did not tweet very much. But it is having like – it is consistently front page news on New York Times about what's going on because it is having repercussions well outside into the world. My favorite being – so essentially for those of you who don't know, if you're listening and you don't know how Twitter works, what used to be a verification process where you would have an account and they would verify who you said you were and then add a little blue check mark. Now anybody can pay $8 and get the blue check mark. People will make an account for companies and with the blue check mark. most notably in the last few days is someone made an account for the Eli Lilly company, which is the pharmaceutical company that makes insulin, got the blue check mark, and they tweeted out that insulin is free for everyone. Eli Lilly then had to come out on their own account and be like, sorry, no, that was invalid. Eli Lilly's stock took a 4% drop when that fake tweet got dropped. Which really, Josh, I'm pushing my soundboard button, but
capitalism, man. Did you see what happened to Lockheed Martin though?
No.
Oh my God. So
yes. Yeah. Yes, they were like, we're not gonna be
we're not gonna sell any weapons to Israel, the US, or what other country was it? One other country due to their human rights, until we investigate their human rights, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Violations or whatever.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, that's the best tweet that they could have possibly made on that fake account. And yeah, their stock just plummeted.
Yes. Yeah. So there's just many stories of that. My favorite, like when Elon Musk first came on board, he was like, comedy's back, baby. We're going to make it, we're going to make it okay to tell jokes again. And then everybody's like, yes, comedy's back. And now he's like, if you are out there making a fake account and you don't say that you're a parody account, you're going to be banned. So now there's all these like parody rules that are getting put in place, but they're just half thought through. And
yeah, it was like, you have to have parody in your bio. And then people were putting parody in their bio. But then other people, then they were like, no, you have to put parody in your actual name, because the parody and bio thing wasn't working out. And then people were doing shenanigans like Ben Shapiro, author of I Am Not a Parody account, because they have the word parody in their account name. It's insane. Then Elon was like, okay, we have too many people changing their names to official looking account names. No more name changes. And then Doja Cat was stuck as the name Christmas for like a day. And she's like, hello, I cannot change my name off of Christmas. I'd like to be something else. Oh, goddamn.
It's too much. It's too much, man. I know. So another thing I had read, some recounts from people who had left Twitter about how early on Twitter had really pushed to collect a bunch of information from the app on your phone about where you were. For example, there was like a telecom company who wanted to know people who went into their competitor stores. And,
oh, interesting.
This person, this account of this former employee was one of the people who had left Twitter recently. Said that he had pushed back against this and they had managed to get it like canned and didn't go through. But that has me worried that they're going to be scrambling to do all sorts of semi-illegal things in order to try to make money, because Twitter has like $1 billion of debt it has to service every year.
Yeah.
Elon sold a bunch of Tesla stock to try to pay for this debt, which sent the Tesla stock plummeting. A whole bunch of advertisers left Twitter because of this chaos. So Twitter's now making even less money. It was like barely profitable before. Now it's making even less. It is watching the dumpster burn from inside the dumpster at this point.
The other crazy thing too is that Elon kind of has to have it make money. And if he says, oh, this is just for a meme so I could destroy Twitter, he can get sued for that as well. So he's just like, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. The only thing he could really do is just shut the fuck up, make things go back to the way that they were. And even still, it would be colossally like worse off than it was before he did anything.
What a doofus. What a doofus.
Sorry, what were you going to say though?
Well, I was going to say, I'm curious what your thoughts are. And so I didn't really have a big presence on Twitter. I use Twitter pretty regularly. I didn't have a huge presence, but I know people who do have fairly big presence, especially people who are like big podcasters or other creative people have had like relationships made through Twitter. And it's a very tenuous time for Twitter. Especially like if you have a relationship with them, you know, that's how you make money or anything like that. So I see right now a lot of people are trying to find alternatives, and we're seeing a huge influx of Substacks getting made, people trying to like come up with Discords. I don't think there's ever going to be anything to replicate what Twitter did, which was fairly unique. But
because I mean, even like Truth Social is trying to be Twitter, but it's so marred by like the right wing like ness of it all, and the people, was that the one where like people are just using the N-word constantly and stuff like that, and kind of the the problem with trying to be like a pro free speech on the internet, when you brand yourself as that, you're basically putting yourself into a bind where you're like, hey, minorities and people who are routinely shitted on, you're not welcome here because we're not going to moderate the content that goes on. So that's like not the number one thing that a social media site should be. They should seek to be a welcoming environment. And that's what Twitter did for a long time. And that's how they're able to cultivate all these people, because it's the people that are on Twitter that make it profitable, not the website itself.
Right.
Twitter isn't offering a super cool service or anything like that. It is just a collection that happens to have a lot of people on there who bring the content with them. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? That's why I was like getting back into the old blogging, newsletter writing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a Mastodon account. Mastodon is sort of like the Linux to Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Mastodon is to Twitter. It can be kind of confusing to people who don't work in technology, which is why, having joined, I've seen a whole bunch of people I know from Twitter who work in technology, who had gotten like less vocal as time goes on in Twitter. My Twitter feed had gotten kind of like unmanageable with kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. But now my Mastodon feed is mostly tech people again. And it's kind of feels like the olden days of kind of like a tech startup, where mainly the people on there are the people who like work there or work with it. Mm-hmm. So that has a nice feeling. It definitely doesn't, it's not the same like breaking news feeling that Twitter had. But
when isn't Mastodon decentralized too?
It is decentralized, but it is federated, and that's that kind of language is what gets confusing to people. Okay. So, but
yeah,
what it
I've
allows
seen it a lot, but I'm like a newbie, so
yeah, what it allows for is anybody can start a Mastodon server, and set up their own rules for it, and decide whether or not they want to connect into like the full federated group or if they just want to stay single. And so what that means is, it's essentially like a distributed version of Twitter, and, you can connect. So I'm on like one Mastodon server and it's connected to all the rest of them. So I can still follow people on other ones. I can still like my timeline is full of people from all different Mastodon servers, but, it's controlled by like one group of people, and it's basically just like two or three people. And so you're basically trusting that they're going to like maintain it and update it. Whereas like Twitter, you're trusting that like Elon doesn't ruin everything because of Mastodon's distributed model. There is no like single thing a person can buy and own. And there's also no like single thing to fail. Like single servers can fail, but the whole network doesn't really go down in the same way. But it's like email. People compare it to email. You can make an email account anywhere, Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail, whatever, and you can email whoever you want, but you pick a client based on like your needs and your wants, and then you just have to share email addresses. It's like that, but for Twitter.
So a step above Nintendo friend codes.
Sure. Yeah.
On the
I
level
don't know.
Of confusingness. I just know that people have a big problem with those. I don't know.
it is the Mastodon is very confusing for people who, outside of technology, and that's, can be a barrier. But I think once people realize that it doesn't matter where you make an account, I think that's something that can be confusing, because it asks you to like pick a server to make an account, and it's like pick a server that is full of like-minded people. And you're like, is this only the people I'm going to be talking to? And it's like, no. I think it's really important for marginalized communities, because they can be like, look, maybe we want to have like a queer server, and only people who are like queer can join it. And that way they don't have to worry about like, they can just have like super strict code of conduct, and they can have their own rules, and they can be like, look, this is just a safe space for us. Or, you know, whatever marginalized community you're part of, they can just be like, this is just for us. And you can kind of configure it and separate it, and people can make their accounts there, but still like see the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like, there is a lot of lingo and a lot of confusion for like the general populace to understand. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm having fun with it.
Nice. Nice. I'm going to kind of wait and see what happens with Twitter. I'm there sinking with the ship for right now, but I might have to hop on over if,
yeah, I still have, my Twitter account. I just don't, I uninstalled the app. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially with that tracking stuff, that is just such a big bummer because, like, for a while I was just using, Facebook as a mobile site on my phone. I wasn't using the app, but the mobile site just like breaks all the time. And I think that it's because they want people to use the app. So they just don't put hardly any resources into maintaining that mobile site.
Some of those 11,000 people that got laid off.
What'd you say?
Some of the 11,000 people that got laid off probably were the work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, and Facebook is definitely one of those companies that oversteps the line privacy wise. So if Twitter starts doing more of that, that would be kind of a big concern for me going forward, especially because Elon's just in a like throw shit at the wall, try it, we'll see if it's profitable sort of a scenario because he's panicking. But yeah, what a fucking dumbass. He's so, yeah.
Similarly, the crypto FTX debacle. Are you familiar with this?
Maybe. What? I've heard of lots of crypto like scams and stuff going on. So if it's related to that, maybe.
So I guess FTX is like the second biggest exchange. And like I'm really talking out of my realm here, talking about crypto. I'm a known anti-crypto. Also, it really sucks that cryptocurrency has co-opted the word crypto. Mm-hmm. And now you can't ever talk about anything that's crypto just means secret, I think, in Latin. So you can't ever use the word crypto anymore without referring to cryptocurrency, unfortunately.
Yep.
But there was like an exchange that went down and the company filed for bankruptcy and people lost like billions of dollars. This guy lost like the founder lost like 96% of his wealth, but so now he only has like $3 billion.
Aww.
Capitalism.
Aww. How's he going to survive?
But, it's like they just keep bringing out news stories. I think Tom Brady dumped a bunch of money into it and then lost it all. Just a whole bunch of stories about people just being like, oh no. And it's such a cryptocurrency has such a cult mentality where mm-hmm. it's all people are just like, every time something bad happens, people are like, you just got to trust in the system, man. Just hold
diamond
on.
Hands.
Don't,
diamond
don't do
hands.
Anything bad. Yeah. Diamond hands. It's very yep. like QAnon or,
oh yeah.
It's just like scary where they're just like, don't pay attention to this bad stuff happening.
Yep. Yep. Really and easy? I saw a lot of that too when I was, when like 2020 was rolling around and people were getting into Bitcoin and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, what is this? That's when I started getting into buying stocks and I was yeah, like, okay, stocks. This is essentially just gambling. Like this is a joke. So I have a few stocks left, but I have like Apple and Activision and like a couple of other ones. Not any big ones. I famously will not get any oil or health or military stocks. So that
famously.
Really limits. Famously. No, I tell everybody, I'm like, I will not invest in any industry that I like just want to fucking die. So yeah. All three of those. No, thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But I have a few Dogecoin at this point. I'm waiting to see if it pops off. And then if it does pop off, then I'm going to sell it. If not, I already made back the money that I put into it, so I'm not really concerned about it. But other than that,
yeah,
I'm out
I bought
of the crypto
Dogecoin
game.
Or I mined Dogecoin when it first came out because it was it was like started by a guy who lived in Portland.
And wow!
And when it first came out, you know, it cost like next to nothing to mine, so I mined like a bit, and then when it got famous here a couple years ago, I sold it for like $5, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh.
You're like, oh, that bought my fries. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a lot of chaos going on online right now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, oh, we're watching our republic fall.
Do you think this is how Romans felt?
Yeah.
How could we fail? We build all the roads. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's wild. Another thing I wanted to briefly mention that has happened in the semi-recent news is Matthew Perry's book came out. This was more pertinent right after we had done the whole nine yards / the whole 10 yards. But did you hear about this news story?
Mm-mm.
So in his book, his memoir is called Friends, Lovers, and Big Terrible Things. He was on like kind of press tour for his book, and he talked about we've lost people, we've lost actors during his career, like how people have died. He talked about like River Phoenix and so on and so forth. And he talked about Chris Farley, and he talked about Heath Ledger. And when he talked about Heath Ledger, I was looking for the exact quote, but I cannot find it. But he essentially says something to the effect of Heath Ledger passed away, but we still have somebody, but like Keanu Reeves is still with us. How do we still have Keanu Reeves, but we don't have Heath Ledger anymore? And people are like, what the heck, bro? What do you have against Keanu Reeves? And, it like blew up for a couple days. And I was like, what did you do, Matthew Perry? He apparently was like, I don't think he had seen a Keanu Reeves movie since the 90s. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but Keanu Reeves was just
he watched like Bill and Ted, and then he's like, well, that's all that Keanu Reeves could do.
Yeah, I know. Like the world's nicest guy, Keanu Reeves. That's who Matthew Perry decides to come out after.
Yeah, like you could go after like Bill Murray or like any of those sorts of people.
Or at least another like comedian. But Matthew Perry did say he issued an apology saying, I'm a big fan of Keanu. I just picked a random name. My mistake.
Mm. Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah. I feel like I should go lower my views of the whole nine yards now.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that like Matthew Perry almost died recently, right? Or like a few years ago. And so then he's like, this is a big book to like talk about my life and everything. So I feel like he's just like being brutally honest. And maybe that was one of those things that he let slip where he just doesn't like Keanu for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, wild, wild. He also talked a little bit about Bruce Willis in the book, and he had nothing but nice things to say about him. And I think maybe we should talk a little bit about that Bruce Willis news that we talked about previously, and then now we're going to hang our heads in shame a little bit and then come back.
Yeah.
To you
so
guys.
A couple, I don't know, weeks, months ago, we talked about this news that had released that Bruce Willis had sold his image to like a deepfake company. And we talked about like the future of Hollywood as these sorts of things become more and more prevalent. And then the news has come out that that was apparently misreported.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an unfortunate news cycle, but it's good that, the correction has been issued. I don't know. Do you know, was it just like some news agency got it wrong, or did someone miscommunicate something, or?
I think so I read some article that was talking about it where they were like, oh, we could see actors start to do this sort of thing. And then some other company took that, and then it became like a game of telephone of each of them going one step further until they got to the point where it was like, Bruce Willis sells his likeness. So it was a weird sort of game where several people in a row wrote stuff without verifying it. And then it got picked up by bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger companies until it was finally like some publication was like, hey, we asked for clarification, and the Willis estate was like, no, we certainly did not do that or whatever. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, good.
And at that time we had a blue check marks that meant something. So they were able to tell us.
If you want to be Willis Way Pod verified, you know, we'll take $5.
Yeah. 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 And we'll verify you personally.
Yeah. We don't need to, do $8 verification. We'll do $5. okay. One last big topic I wanted to talk with you, Josh, and that's all this DC news that's happened. Now,
all right.
You are famously a DC man.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the DC side of the AC/DC spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
In the last few weeks, it has been announced that James Gunn is taking over as like the studio head at DC, correct? And also Henry Cavill coming back to reprise his role as Superman, leaving the Witcher franchise, unfortunately, which I really liked.
Do you think that those two things are that related?
I think probably what happened was he could not do both. And he was like, please give me $11 billion. And Witcher was like, nope. And DC was like, okay.
Yeah. I wonder if that was even it, or if it was like he got some offer to come back as Superman and he was like, I'm kind of done with the Witcher anyways. I've already done what I want to do with the character. So
you think he was just like looking for his a new thing? I don't know. He apparently was, is a fan of like the Witcher story,
and he's a big nerd. So he's going to say that he's a fan of a lot of this stuff, and I believe him on all of it. So
yeah. I liked the, Witcher series. I'm a little unsure about Liam Hemsworth.
Right.
Mainly I'm unsure if I could pick him out of a lineup, but also like Geralt is a pretty recognizable character in The Witcher and to just completely replace him with a different looking dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway,
Doctor Who, who's this guy? How are they going to do that?
Yeah, they could Doctor Who him.
Yeah. I don't know anything about The Witcher. Like I'm not a watcher of that. So,
but what are your feelings on those DC news stories?
So some people, so some people shit on Henry Cavill when he was playing Superman originally. I think that Zack Snyder's the biggest problem with Man of Steel. I don't think that Superman, Henry Cavill's the biggest problem with it. Although I think that he is maybe more well suited to play a James Bond sort of a character that's a little bit more, one note, and Superman needs somebody that can play like the compassionate human, like humanitarian side of him really well. And I think that, I like Brandon Routh, but I don't think he's the best Superman. The best Superman has obviously been Christopher Reeve. And Henry Cavill's good as Superman. I just think that he's kind of a one note plus muscles a little bit. So I'm excited to have him back. I hope that he gets to do more interesting stuff with the character. And I hope that Henry Cavill gets a chance to prove that he has better chops than what I give him credit for. The other stuff though, James Gunn, I'm decently excited about that. I think that he is one of those people where I kind of preferred it when he was the, like, on the, on like the outskirts of whatever thing he was working on, because he can get a little bit much for me sometimes. But I liked his take on like Scooby-Doo, which is a weird thing to say, but I liked his take on Scooby-Doo. I haven't seen, was it, Super 8? Was that the one that he did, the superhero movie?
Super 8, I think, was J.J. Abrams, wasn't it?
Oh, no. I'm not thinking of Super 8. I'm thinking of... Fuck.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
Oh,
I'm going to look it up.
It's just called Super.
Super. Yes. That's what I'm thinking about. So, yeah, he wrote Super, and I think he might have directed that too. Yes, yeah, he directed Super. I haven't seen that, but I like James Gunn's stuff enough. I think that he is a little bit too much of a, hey, it's just guys being dudes, dudes being guys, like, I don't know, sort of stuff. So I'm curious to see how he's going to handle some of the characters that have meant a lot for
you know, different minorities and for women and stuff like that. Like, I don't know how I'd feel about James Gunn, like, making a Guardians of the Galaxy style movie that has Wonder Woman as the main character. I don't know how much I'd like that, but I think he's a great fit for like the Suicide Squad. I don't know about how he's going to be with like Justice League, because I feel like Justice League has to have like almost an insufferable level of like heroism and that sort of thing, which obviously we did not get with either of our Justice League movies, either the Zack Snyder one or the Joss Whedon one. But yeah, I'm moderately excited. It's at least a direction, and that's something that these movies have lacked. So we'll see. We will see.
From what I understand, James Gunn is going to be kind of the like Kevin Feige equivalent over in the Marvel MCU. And Kevin Feige does not direct movies. He creates a creative team.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Feige creates the vision, right?
That
connects all the stuff together, for better or for worse. I think some of the greatest and some of the worst parts of the MCU is how connected it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely the like beast they have created. And I think DC was kind of struggling / it didn't want to commit to,